Monday, May 3rd, another edition of Crunch Time here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. I'm your host, Double T, Travis there. Crunch Time presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Schedule your next appointment and learn more at OrthoCincy.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. And we have a great show lined up for you here on this Monday afternoon. Not only has the weather gotten better, but great show to boot as well. And here in just a few minutes, we are going to catch up with our featured guest of the evening, Mr. Drew Chrisman, a Lawrenceburg native who has just signed as an undrafted free agent with the Cincinnati Bengals. So the hometown kid signs with the hometown team, and we're going to catch up with Drew and spend a few minutes talking about signing and being an NFL player, talking a little bit about his college career as well, and anything else that kind of came up in conversation. So stay tuned for that. First, we're going to start off with our Crunch Time headline, see what's shaking here in Eagle Country on the high school level. And I do want to start with the IHSAA baseball and softball state pairings. It's always fun when the sectional pairings come out in any particular sport. And in softball, we'll start in 4A, sectional 14 at Shelbyville. There'll be six teams in this particular bracket. And East Central has been drawn straight in to the semifinals, 12-3 on the season. They've done quite well for themselves. They will take on Bloomington South and only have to win that one game to get into the championship. They have not played Bloomington South yet this year. They are 1-1 against sectional teams. They beat Columbus North 20-9 earlier in the season and lost by 3 runs to Shelbyville. Those are two teams that will be matched up in the first round and probably the favorites on the other half of the bracket to get to the championship. So the Lady Trojans have a pretty good shot at winning the sectional this year. Sectional 29 at Connersville in 3A. Fairly open sectional here. Game one will be pitted between Franklin County and Lawrenceburg. The winner of that game will play Connersville or South Dearborn. And then on the other side of the bracket, Batesville versus Rushville, with Greensburg awaiting the winner in that particular game. And Greensburg apparently has the leg up in this sectional. Not only are they 8-3, the best record in the sectional, but also have that bye into the semifinals. But that should be a fun one, sectional 29 out at Connersville. Sectional 45 at Switzerland County. Again, we're talking softball sectional. Southwestern Hanover and Austin will play game one. South Ripley and Milan in game two. And then North Decatur and Switzerland County, the two best teams by record in this particular sectional, will play for a chance to go to the championship game. North Decatur 9-5, Switzerland County 9-1. They just suffered their first loss of the season over the weekend to Madison. They have not played yet this year, but for Switzerland County, they're 4-0 against everybody else in the sectional, so the winner of that game might be the odds-on favorite to win sectional 45. And then sectional 60 at Rising Sun. Hauser, the best team in this particular sectional at 15-2 on the season. Rising Sun will play Hauser in game one. And round one, South Decatur versus Jacksonville, and then Oldenburg Academy getting the bye in that five-team sectional. Rising Sun did lose to Hauser 9-2 on April 5th. If they can get by Hauser and pull the upset, then they'll have a pretty good shot at winning the sectional. In baseball, sectional 14 at Bloomington North, this will feature the number one team in all of 4A, Columbus North, 17-1-1 on the season, and you guessed it, East Central, drawing the toughest team in the bracket in the first round. The winner will play Shelbyville or Columbus East, with the Bloomington schools already in the semifinals playing game four in that six-team sectional, excuse me. Sectional 29 at Lawrenceburg, seven teams. South Dearborn and Batesville in round one, game one. Batesville 12-4 on the year, number 8-3A. South Dearborn 8-3, the defending champ of this sectional all the way back to 2019. The winner of that game will play Connersville or Greensburg. Lawrenceburg gets a good draw, taking on Rushville in the first round. If they win, they'd go on to play Franklin County. But if you're South Dearborn, Batesville, Lawrenceburg, Connersville, or Franklin County, they all have winning records. All five of those teams believe that they can win in this sectional, and I wouldn't count out Greensburg or Rushville to play spoiler as well, so that should be a fun one. Sectional 45 at South Ripley, Milan and Switzerland County in round one, North Decatur versus South Ripley, and then South Decatur and Southwestern in game four of that tournament, already into the semifinals. A five-team sectional at Jacksonville in 1A, the number one team in the state, Oldenburg Academy, drawing Trinity Lutheran in game one. Jacksonville takes on Rising Sun, and then Hauser, who's number six in 1A, has the bye into the semifinals. So that's an intriguing sectional as well. You can see all those local pairings over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Moving on to our next subject, I want to once again talk a little bit about the Lawrenceburg football team as they recently were the grand prize winner of the 2020-2021 helmets giveaway sponsored by the Indianapolis Colts, which means the school is going to receive $25,000 to purchase new premium helmets courtesy of the Colts. And I caught up with Coach Kaniga after this news dropped, and he said their current helmets actually reached their 10-year lifespan this past season and must be retired. So they were getting ready to purchase new helmets anyways, and this is going to be a big relief to the athletic department because they already have the funds for the helmets and can kind of put some other monies towards other sporting activities at Lawrenceburg High School. So cool stuff there. Another thing I wanted to get to tonight was the South Dearborn High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Two inductees later on this month. The Hall of Fame ceremony going to take place on May 21st at 6:30 p.m. in the South Dearborn Auditorium. Tyler Clark and Ellen Barrett will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Clark, the all-time winningest wrestler in school history with 145 wins, 2010 graduate, three-time EIAC MVP, and four-time state qualifier. Barrett, a 2014 graduate. She is going to be inducted for her efforts on the softball field and playing basketball. Her main sport was softball, though. She earned All-State honors on two occasions and holds eight school records, but also was a pretty good basketball player as well. So that event will be open to the public. You will have to wear a face mask and all that good stuff. But yes, Friday, May 21st at 6:30, the Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremony at South Dearborn High School. Few area athletes that just received scholarships from the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. Reed Cleary out of East Central, Anna Hubbard from Jacksonville, Aiden Connect also from East Central, Cody Samples among 16 Crawley Scholarship Award winners, and Lawrenceburg's Reese Denning receiving the Pat Aikman Scholarship. And the criteria was you obviously have to be a pretty good basketball player, do well in the classroom, and participate in other extracurriculars and community service, things like that. So each student receiving $500 towards their post-secondary education. That can go a long way to helping out with books and things of that nature. And one final thing we want to get to in our headlines before we get to our featured guest, Drew Chrisman. Some recent standout performances. Got to start with EC freshman Lexi Hatmaker. She threw a perfect game last week on Tuesday against Rushville. Struck out 10 in that game. 6-2 on the season. 2.71 ERA. She struck out 56 batters in 54 and a third innings pitch. And EC 12-3 on the season. 5-0 in the EIAC. Lexi Hatmaker a big part of what they're doing in St. Leon. And Franklin County's Brant Ertl striking out 10 on his way to throwing a no-hitter against South Dearborn over the week. Weekend. Congratulations to those young individuals for doing some special things on the in the pitching circle and on the pitching mound. So without further ado, we are going to get into our next segment here on Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. And we are going to be welcoming in Drew Chrisman, as I mentioned, a Lawrenceburg native. Actually went to St. Lawrence School here in downtown as a youngster, and then he went on to LaSalle. Then he would go play for Urban Meyer and Ryan Day at the Ohio State University. Three-time All-Big Ten Conference honoree, two-time semifinalist for the Ray Guy Award, a four-time academic All-Big Ten honoree, and averaged 44 yards per punt for his career. That is fourth in Ohio State program history. And, oh, yeah, he also got his degree in Consumer and Family Financial Services. So very accomplished is Drew Chrisman, and over the weekend signing as an undrafted free agent with the hometown Bengals. Here is my earlier interview with Drew. I want to first congratulate you on signing with the Bengals. What's the last few days been like for you and your family? I'm sure it's been a little bit of a whirlwind.
Been a little chaotic, yeah. No, the draft day was a long and kind of stressful day. You know, I knew I would be in a good situation no matter at the end of it. It was just there were still so many uncertainties. You know, ultimately ended up going undrafted and, you know, signing with the hometown team. So, you know, not all bad. You know, that's an incredible blessing to have that opportunity. And then after that, it's just kind of been overwhelming support. Yesterday was just a lot of congratulations, and today is really feels like my first day of the NFL offseason in this COVID era of this Zoom call. So it's exciting, and it's the start of a new chapter, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, and you know, coming in as a punter, that particular position doesn't always get looked at with the 7-round draft, but you were kind of in a unique position where you were able to kind of choose where you wanted to go. Obviously, there had to be mutual interest between a team. Were there some other teams that you talked to other than the Bengals that you considered?
Yeah, no, my my agent and I, we certainly did our research and our homework before the draft even started, had a list of our top teams, and Bengals were my top team going into it if I didn't get drafted. So, you know, luckily that worked out, and that was still an option at the end. But, yeah, certainly that entire month, really since the end of my our last game, the national championship, it was just kind of a whirlwind talking to teams, getting ready for pro day, and workouts were canceled this year because of COVID. So really the pro day was my last impression on these coaches, rather than just Zoom calls. So, but yeah, I mean, it worked out, and I'm happy to be a Bengal.
Absolutely, and I thought the Bengals was a natural landing point for you. I thought that maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars might have come up, too, with Urban Meyer being down there.
Yeah, he was at the pro day, and I talked to him. They had drafted a punter a couple of years back, and he's been doing a good job for them. So, you know, that wasn't really a consideration.
Sure.
He even told me at pro day, he's like, you know, if this guy was so good, I'd be looking more into you. So that would have been cool. That would have been cool to go down. He did draft one Buckeye, one of my buddies, Luke Farrell, so I'm super pumped for him to head down to Florida. But, no, I'm happy to stay home just as well, for sure.
And have you been a fan?
Oh, yeah. My dad, I have very fond memories of my dad and I heading into the jungle growing up. You know, I watched them more than, you know, the Buckeyes and all that. So this certainly feels, I kind of got to pinch myself more than any other experience I've already lived through, just because of, you know, we didn't have to go very far in the house to find Bengals gear to pick up after I signed with them. So, yeah, been a Bengal for life, and a blessing to finally be a part of that team and be one of the guys I looked up to really growing up, going to those games. So that's pretty cool in itself.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the roster, obviously Kevin Huber still there, just signed a one-year contract through 2021, entering his 13th season. So he should be a guy that you could probably pick up a lot of knowledge from learning the ropes in the NFL.
Oh, definitely. No, he's certainly one of the guys I've looked up to, you know, especially during this punting journey once I transitioned from looking at Carson Palmer as a quarterback to looking at Kevin Huber in my early days of, like, high school. He's certainly someone I've watched a lot, especially at the games growing up, you know, seeing how he operated. And it's going to be great to go in there and kind of pick his brain, you know, seeing, you know, he's been a hometown guy as well, being in Cincinnati, see what that's been like for him. And then, obviously, you said playing this now is going to 13th year. So there's a lot of knowledge there and how to, you know, physically be able to maintain that level for so long, but also, you know, the mental aspect as well. So, it is. I mean, I do go in there planning on, you know, trying to win the job. But if anything else, be able to, you know, learn how to manage the game like he has would be great as well.
Absolutely. And you kind of mentioned your transition from quarterback at a young age to punter. For those that don't know, give us kind of the brief synopsis on how that transition came about.
Yeah. So. Basically played everything growing up, and when I got to high school, it was football and basketball, and I went into LaSalle High School. That's where I went to high school as a quarterback, and then my sophomore year, during a game, I stuck my arm out, and a guy landed on it, tore a tendon there, where I had to get Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that put me out of, you know, throwing for a year, but I was still able to punt on the varsity team with that injury. Until I got surgery that next off season, so that's really where I kind of started to fall in love with punting. I looked up a lot of videos on YouTube, great guy videos. That's kind of where I first started, and went to a couple camps, got ranked pretty high, and kind of saw that I was going to be able to go further in my career with my leg rather than my arm. So, you know, one door closed, another door opened, and I don't know if I'd be a Bengal if I was still slinging the pigskin. Doesn't mean I don't still have it. Don't get me wrong. You know, if they dial up a fake, I'll be ready. But doing most of my work with my leg now.
So. Yeah, I mean, we got to see you throw the ball, I believe, at least once up at Ohio State. So keep that in the back pocket.
Yep, yeah, I showed off once, but know, maybe some more opportunities in the future.
Absolutely. So I was kind of curious about what your preparation is like in the off season. Like, how much do you kick? What kind of goes into being a now professional punter?
Yeah, it's really, I've kind of just adapted every year. This year with COVID, we canceled a lot of our off season and summer workouts at Ohio State. So I really treated it as if it was like an NFL off season, building my own schedule, lifting when I wanted to, kicking when I wanted to, created my own little stretching routine every time I kicked. And the routine that I have now and that I created this past offseason, I feel the most comfortable with. And I had one of my best years at Ohio State this season. So I'll probably continue to, you know, enhance that routine, but also learn, like I was talking about earlier, learn from a guy like Kevin Huber. I mean, it's going to be great to see what he does and, you know, any kind of bits I can pick up from him to, you know, even enhance my game even further is certainly something I'm looking to do, and always just looking, you know, for some new way to get better.
All right, we're talking to Drew Chrisman, an undrafted free agent signing with the Cincinnati Bengals and a Lawrenceburg native. A really cool story coming out of the draft. You alluded to it a little bit earlier that you want to go in and compete for that punting position. Have you had any preliminary conversations with Coach Taylor or Coach Simmons about what they expect of you once you get there into downtown Cincinnati?
Yeah, sir. I've been talking to Coach Simmons pretty regularly this whole process, and he's you know, he's laid out the situation, you know, pretty in layman terms for me. You know, they signed Kevin to another year, but he's done a great job there for all the years he's been there. But, you know, it's just, I mean, there's competition every year. Even if I do win the job this year, they'll bring in another guy next year, rather either to just push me or, you know, try to replace me. So it's called the NFL for a reason, not for long. So,
yep.
You know, someone's always itching to have that spot. And Kevin's dealt with that his entire career. And, you know, it'll be a blessing to be able to punt for the Bengals. And, you know, if this situation doesn't work out, I'll have a chance to, you know, try out another team.
Well, it sounds...
But, you know, you just got to take advantage of the opportunity that comes. And I'm certainly going to put my best foot forward. No pun intended.
There you go. It sounds like Ohio State has prepared you really well for this moment, not only in terms of the preparation, but you're saying all the right things and have the right mindset going into it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trade my 5 years at Ohio State for the world. I mean, I think the last time I talked to you guys, I was just some young kid. It was probably when I committed to Ohio State.
I believe that's right, yeah.
I kind of remember seeing looking at the picture. I was just some ugly senior in high school headed to Columbus, and now I'm just an older ugly guy heading to Cincinnati. But hopefully a little bit more mature and you know, able to handle these situations just because of the situation I was put in at Ohio State. So I feel prepared for you know, whatever came my way. And this is just the best opportunity at the moment. I'm going to take full advantage of it that I can. So,
all right, just a few more things for you. There are some on the Bengals roster. Have you heard from any of those gentlemen after you signed your free agent deal?
Yeah, I played with, I think, four of the guys on the roster right now. I had, Michael Jordan. He's the, I think, he's one of the offensive linemen. He mm-hmm. He called me afterwards and congratulated me. But, I played with him and Billy Price and then even Joe Burrow when he was back.
Sure.
The Buckeye before he was a Tiger. So there's going to be some friendly faces day one. And I think that, you know, that helps with any kind of transition. But that's the beauty of going to a place like Ohio State. You know, they're kind of all over. So I feel like you can go to any team and there'll be some Buckeye of the past that you can – you know, laugh about memories of being a Buckeye before. So it is pretty special to have that opportunity.
Absolutely. I also wanted to ask you just real quick, like, was it kind of fun for you to watch the draft and see some of your buddies get taken?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of an every year celebration. We only had one guy taken this year, first round, Justin Fields. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a little more. But, yeah, I think there were 15 draft-eligible guys this year, and all 15 of us either got drafted or signed afterwards on the undrafted free agency. So people, NFL teams, they respect, you know, what we do at Ohio State. And,
you know, they seem to take us when they get the chance. So
yeah, I was a little upset that the Bengals didn't end up getting a steal in Sean Wade. He just kept sitting out there on the board. I was like, come on, take a chance on him. But he's going to go to the rival Ravens, so that was a little unfortunate.
Yeah, no, Sean's a great guy, and I'm sure, yeah, he might have felt like he slipped, you know, in the draft, and I just hope he puts an edge on a chip on his shoulder because of that. Just, you know, puts his head down, works even harder, and proves everybody wrong. So.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him every game of the season except for two. All right, a couple more things for you. Could you name a favorite moment or two from your time at Ohio State?
Oh man, there are so many. It's hard to really put, you know, a finger on one. I'd be in trouble tonight if I didn't say proposing to my girlfriend at the spring game a couple years back. That's one that I'll probably, you know, hold dear to my heart forever, and sure my kids will make fun of me for doing it, but you know, it's something that's going to be special for my family, you know, for years to come. So that's going to have to take the top of the list there, if nothing else.
That is a great answer for sure. Is there a current or former Bengals player that you're really excited to meet?
Oh man, question. It'd be good to see Joe. I haven't seen him since my redshirt freshman year. No, it was my freshman year. Yeah, I was there for him for 2 years. So obviously he's changed and developed a little bit, and so it'd be good to kind of, you know, reconnect with him since I haven't seen him in a few years. But I mean, really, I'm just excited to see just everybody get to meet the team. I've only seen them on Zoom calls so far. So it's just exciting to be able to get in there and you know, start this whole process. So,
all right, a couple more things. On a scale 1 to 10, how much do you enjoy Skyline Chili?
11.
11, yes, there we go. Very good. I wasn't sure which way that was going to go.
I mean, you know what? I mean, that's a huge factor in the pick in, you know, Cincinnati. Get the real deal. You know, we had it in Columbus. I actually lived next to a Skyline Chili, and my wife Avery, she's from Lawrenceburg as well, and it's just not the same. It's not the same. I don't know what they do in Cincinnati, but it tastes a little better when it's from Cincinnati. So. So that was a huge selling point in staying home and getting to enjoy some more original Skyline. So.
I love that. And one final thing, complete the sentence. Signing with the Cincinnati Bengals is?
A blessing. I mean, it's kind of, you know, hard to put words into it. I mean, it's a dream come true. I mean, it's everything that a kid grows up here wishes and dreams that he could do one day. And, you know, it's kind of humbling in a sense, and that I'm actually going to have a chance to do it. So, you know, certainly going to give it all I have, and hopefully I can enjoy a long career here. Ohio's been good to me.
Well, I can't thank Drew Chrisman enough for joining Crunch Time here tonight. A huge get. I mentioned earlier on the air that the show's only been around for a few years. It's the first time we've had a professional athlete on the show. And Drew, a great young man here from Lawrenceburg, and is going to play for the Cincinnati Bengals, or at least, you know, give his best foot forward, like he said, to try and win that job as the punter. But one way or another, I mean, he's had a spectacular college career, and I've watched every single game that he's ever played. I didn't allude to this in the interview and didn't let him know, but I'm a huge Ohio State fan, so I've seen every one of Drew's games, and I mostly was always rooting for him to stay on the sidelines because that meant Ohio State was scoring points. But when he had to go out there, he usually got the job done, and I believe that he's going to continue to do that at the pro level. But I can't thank him enough for joining the show. That was a lot of fun getting to chat with him and get a little insight into the draft process as well. So I got about 5 minutes left. Crunch Time presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. And this is a segment we don't do every week, but I call it Double T's Takes. And I'm going to give you a little hot take in regards to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the offensive line is fine. I'm good with where it's at, and I'm mostly good with where it's at because Frank Pollock is now back as the offensive line coach, and Joe Mixon has even said himself, and Frank Pollock we trust, and if Joe Mixon is happy, I'm a happy camper too. And a lot of folks were a little upset the Bengals didn't address offensive line with their first round pick. They could have potentially drafted Penei Sewell, who a lot of people think is going to be a Hall of Fame type player at left tackle. The Bengals, they went with Ja'Marr Chase. They had him rated higher, thought he fit into the team maybe better. If you saw the draft grade watching the ESPN coverage, it was a 99. So Ja'Marr is an exceptional talent, and he's reuniting with Joe Burrow. They had some phenomenal seasons together at LSU, and Ja'Marr comes in with a chip on his shoulder. He says he's going to break every single record, receiving record that the Bengals have. So I love his energy and enthusiasm coming in as the number one pick. But the Bengals did address the offensive line. It started in round two. They actually traded back and were able to get a couple of extra fourth round picks, and then another hometown kid, Jackson Carman, out of Clemson, played at Fairfield High School, a big-time recruit heading out of high school, went to Clemson, helped that team win a national championship blocking for Trevor Lawrence, and he projects to be a guard at the NFL level, played tackle in college, but the Bengals believe that he's going to come in and compete for a starting job right out of the gate, and it was a really cool video. If you didn't see it, it's on social media. He gets the call from Zach Taylor saying that he's going to be the selection. His whole family that's surrounding him, they know that he's being drafted because he got the phone call. So he gets off the phone. They go crazy. They still don't know what team he's going to. And then he kind of lets the applause die down a little bit. And then he pauses and says, "It's Cincinnati," and everybody just goes crazy. It gave me goosebumps when I saw it the first time. And really, I've watched it probably 50 times since then, because it's just another really cool story, and rooting for Jackson to do well. Bengals did pick up a couple of edge rushers. They were amongst the last in the league last year getting to the quarterback, Joseph Asai out of Texas, Cam Sample out of Tulane. Hopefully they're going to provide some additional pass rushing for the Bengals. They got a potential steal in round four with defensive tackle Tyler Shelvin out of LSU. He sat out last year and slid down the board. If he would have played, probably would have been a much higher pick, but he is a run stuffer there in the middle. Their other fourth round pick, offensive tackle Deontay Smith, out of East Carolina. All the analysts on the draft show said this guy adds another 5, 10, 15 pounds. He might be really dynamic at offensive tackle. Got a kicker, Evan McPherson out of Florida. He was highly regarded as perhaps the best kicker in the draft. Center Trey Hill out of Georgia. Chris Evans from the team up north. I have to say that because Drew was on the show, but hopefully the Buckeyes on the team will welcome him with open arms as he looks to be the third down back for the Bengals, or at least has a chance to be. So I like the Bengals draft. NFL.com gave him a B+. And more importantly, I like where the offensive line is heading with Jonah Williams, a healthy Jonah Williams at left tackle. Riley Reiff at right tackle signing as a free agent. I like Quentin Spain having a full year, perhaps as one of the guards. Trey Hopkins has played really well at center at times as well. And Pro Football Focus actually rated the Bengals to have the fourth most improved offensive line this offseason. So I think they're heading in the right direction and should be able to keep Joe upright this year and safe back there so he can get the ball down the field to Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, now Ja'Marr Chase, and you know, obviously sprinkle in a little Joe Mixon there as well. A couple other things I wanted to get to. The Reds, 3.5 games back after really the first full months of the season. Could be a little bit better, could be a little worse. They did have a 7-game losing streak in the midst of that first month. So obviously they are well within striking distance and have stuck around in the National League Central. I don't know that anybody's going to be able to run away with this division. The Brewers have been very good so far this year. Their pitching's been outstanding, but the Reds are hitting the ball better than almost anybody in the league. Big slugfest yesterday at GABP, a 13-12 win. 10 homers combined in the game between the Reds and the Cubs. 25 runs, the highest scoring game, I believe, of the season. I think I saw that stat. But Nick Castellanos coming through big. 2 home runs yesterday and the game-winning hit. And how about Joey Votto with that 300th home run over the weekend, which brought into question if he is a Hall of Famer or not. The big player comp out there is Don Mattingly, who is not in the Hall. So a lot of folks on Twitter were chatting saying if Don's not in, Votto shouldn't be in. I don't know that it's my job to say whether he should or not, but he's a former MVP. He's led the league in on-base percentage 7 years in a row earlier in his career. He's right around a 300 batter for his career. The 300 home runs is a good milestone as well. Probably needs to tack on some more hits and RBIs and help his cause a little bit. He's also won a gold glove in there as well. So I think he's on the right track. It also depends on how long he's going to continue to play because his stats are just going to keep going up, you would think. So certainly rooting for Joey to get into the Hall. And then FC Cincinnati, another poor performance over the weekend, a 3-0 loss against Orlando City. It's going to be tough playing on the road this year with some of the travel restrictions. Depending on where you're playing, you're traveling the day of the game. I'm not trying to use that as an excuse. The team's still trying to find some team chemistry. They have a ton of new players. They played the last two games without Lucho Acosta, who's kind of the wheel that makes the whole thing go for the Cincinnati attack, but their defense has been kind of atrocious to start the season. But I will say this, their new stadium is absolutely awesome. Got a chance to check it out yesterday as a season ticket holder. Folks got to go through and see the stadium for the first time. It's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful stadium. No bad seat in the house, and when they can pack that bad boy with 25 or 26,000 people sold out, it's going to be loud, it's going to be awesome, and a great, great game day atmosphere. And you're going to feel like you're sitting right on top of the pitch wherever you are at in that stadium. I can't wait. I got my fingers crossed that I'm going to be picked for the first game at the new stadium on May 16th. But if there's anything going good for the club, they have perhaps the best stadium in the MLS, and the wins will come eventually, hopefully sooner rather than later. So that's going to do it for tonight's show. Again, I want to say a big thank you to Drew Chrisman, the new Bengals punter, rookie punter, coming on the show and talking about his draft experience. That was so awesome. Hopefully you enjoyed the show as well. You can hear it every Monday, 6 to 6:30 here on your hometown radio station. It is presented by OrthoCincy, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. I'm Double T Travis there. Hope you enjoyed the show. So long and good night.